Well, welcome back. Hopefully you're having a great time. We have just been excited getting into all this code, and there's still so many features left to talk about. And I mean, when I'm thinking about what we've done up to this point, we started off with design. We worked all the way through, talked about some contracts, talked about how to get started. And now we're getting to a module that's going to help us to understand more about interactions. And these interactions are not like its counterpart over on the left side where we said DOM interactions. That was programmatic within, you know, yesterday. These kind of interactions are interactions that are going to be engaging with the user and the application, or the application and the operating system, or the user and the application with external things. So there's so many interactions going on. We just decided to use the word interaction. So it's kind of a potpourri of stuff that is going to precede one of the coolest modules, which is going to end the day with data access, because that's always a biggie. But let's go ahead and get started and see what our agenda is going to look like. So we're going to begin with a discussion, a brief discussion on authentication and authorization within what's supplied and what you can do. We're going to look at another hot topic, and that is custom inputs and gestures. A brief example of how you can tie those in specifically when we're thinking about touch devices. And then tiles and what they are, and toast notifications. And it, you know, it might not be what you think it is. Exactly.
Toast might not be what you think.
It might not be what you think. That's right. So we'll have fun showing all those different things. So let's talk first about authentication and authorization scenarios, what we're referring to specifically in the context of this module. So the first one is credential roaming. Love to give a little brief story on what credential roaming, or like a scenario of what it might mean. Imagine that you have signed in at work and you just logged into a social app or site of some kind that required a password.
At work, you're on a social network?
Okay. Imagine you were at a friend's house, and because I would never do that at work,
no,
right? So imagine you were someplace, and you had you know, signed in with one particular device or computer, and you provided the credentials, and you got that, hey, do you want to save that? Yes, on that machine, right? But then you have a slate, you know, running your Windows 8 operating system, that you find when you get home, and you go right to that same app that you were at, and it didn't prompt you for credentials, but you've never actually logged into it on that slate before. So credential roamings give you that ability to say, not only do I want you to save it, but there is a chance for developers to actually preserve that value in a credential vault, which is what it is, and allows that to be synchronized across multiple devices, and makes for a much better user experience. So that's one thing that we're going to, that's part of this context of authentication and authorization scenarios. Another is regarding single sign-on with a Microsoft account. What do you think that means, single sign-on? Any clues?
Signing on one time.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. To enable a single sign-on scenario means it would be a shame. I think of it this way. It's a shame if here you are within the application, the user's already signed on to the operating system, and they've already signed on with their Microsoft account, and now we're asking them to once yet again to sign on again because we might want to access some information regarding. Maybe do you want to see your favorite pics, or you want to go see who your contacts are and stuff. So it's like, why are we asking them again?
Yeah, that'd be no good.
It would be no good. So you could do that with the Microsoft account using an SDK, or you could also use what's called the Web Authentication Broker, which gives another way to do this and also reaches out to other types of authentication places or sources. And then we're going to look also at the authorization via tokens. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. In fact, if you want to, can you demonstrate on your machine a simple authentication demo?
Absolutely. So I'm in Code Show right now, and there's the authentication demo available to you on the front screen there. And when I go into that, it's super basic. You've got the code for you. And I want to point out, let's actually jump over to the code there, because I want to point out that when you downloaded CodeShow, you know that you had to go install some SDKs in order for this to work. And one of those was this Live SDK. This Live SDK delivers to you some JavaScript. Everything is prefixed with WL. And it delivers to you that JavaScript so that in your JavaScript you can use this framework by just referring to simple JavaScript functions. Okay, so you have that. Now, in the interface here, when I get to it, right now it's asking me to sign in to Live. This is not the computer that I normally use. This is our presentation computer. Mm-hmm. And so it's asking me to sign in because I'm actually not signed in with my Microsoft account.
Interesting.
Now, with my personal PC, normally I come to this page, this demo in CodeShow, and it says, you're already signed in. But right now, it's prompting me and saying, you have to sign in order to authenticate here.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I click on sign in to Live, it actually renders for me this interface and prompts me for my Microsoft account. Let's just go ahead and do that again real quick. Close your eyes.
So you didn't create that UI right there?
No.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Nope, I didn't have to create this. The Windows Live SDK handled the creation of that for me.
Okay.
I save that, and it says, you're signed in, and your session has changed. So there's a little trigger there. I'm capturing an event, and I get to run some code in response to an event that anytime my session changes, I get to do something. So if the user, you know, logs out or something, I can capture that and I can react differently in my app because I know that the user's session has changed. I could go check it and see what's the new status of their session. And here I am, I'm signed in. Now let me go ahead and try to sign in again, and it says, you're already signed in.
Okay.
Yep. And let me jump out of here, jump back in, sign in, you're already signed in.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's just a simple example. That's what it looks like in the UI. Let's go look at the code. Control semicolon auth brings me authentication. Let's look at the HTML. Very simple. All I have essentially is a log and a sign in button and then a little bit of explanation of how this works. Notice that when I click on one of these files in the Solution Explorer in Visual Studio 2012, it works differently than it did in 2010. When I click on one of these, it shows me the file, but it doesn't open the file and pollute my tab well.
Oh.
See, so I can click on the HTML and see it, but notice it's rendered over here on the right side of my tab well.
I did not notice that.
And now when I switch, it shows me the JavaScript, but it hasn't kept the HTML in there polluting my tab well. Very, very handy.
That is handy.
Okay, so the JavaScript is where the real magic in this authentication example is happening. And you'll see that we're using this WL.
Mm-hmm.
This WL is the comes from the Live SDK that was given to us. And if you want really good IntelliSense support in your JavaScript file, if it doesn't detect it already, and I believe in this file it would, but at one point it wasn't, you can see this reference path on the top. You can always drop this / comment in the top of your page, and that will tell Visual Studio, hey, I want you to go look at this file and use that to help me with my IntelliSense down here.
Wow.
So now when I do WL dot, I get good IntelliSense over the WL.
That's very cool.
It normally and usually detects based on the page and it's all the references and stuff that this page does have that WL in its namespace, but sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes I think it probably wouldn't, just as a little side note, just because it is possible with all of our, you know, containers, you can have, you know, that kind of like that default loading this, and then it could be loading something we might get into later called fragments, and then by the next thing you know, it's like, maybe it just doesn't keep track. So that's a really nice tip trick.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so in the WL, I can initialize. So I'm initializing first, and then I am subscribing to this event, this auth login event. I'm subscribing to the session change event, and then I'm saying whenever the user clicks the button, I want to check the session. And if it's true, if get session is true, if there's a session, then I tell the user, you're already signed in. Otherwise, I want to sign them in. So I say WL.login, and I provide it a scope. Now, this scope is really important. The scope basically means, how much do you want to do with the user's information? What all are you asking for here? And to just say WL.signin is to just say, I don't need anything about the user. All I want to do is sign in. And you can request that your app has certain levels of access. That way, you can request only however much access your app needs. So, for instance, your app might need to sign the user in and make sure that this is, in fact, George, like they claim. Maybe it doesn't need to know George's middle name and his phone number and his friends, and, you know, and maybe it doesn't need that information. And if you don't need that information, don't just ask for it, because there's a good chance that you're going to have some users that will say, you know what, this app doesn't seem like it needs all this information, and yet it's asking me for it. I don't really trust this app. And so they might not use your app because you're asking for too much.
I see.
Only ask for the scope that you actually need.
That's very good.
Yeah, it's an important concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to think about those. You always have to think about the user. Those usability things, you have to remember that the number one criterion for a successful app is a happy user, somebody who has a good user experience. So you can't forget about the little things.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so that's really it for this simple authentication example using the Microsoft account. What else can we do?
Well, of course, as we know, when it comes to security items, sometimes it's just not that simple, right? And sometimes it can get far more advanced. And one of the things I learned from my interactions with developers over the years is that everyone thinks that their security is always special, right? It's almost like, well, we're different. Well, everyone says that. Everyone thinks that they're different, right? They always have this unique scenario of some kind that they're saying, well, you know, we map to this. So when we're talking about security, you kind of have to take that in, and it's relevant. Okay, so what are we going to do about that? Well, one of the things that we think would be very beneficial is sometimes you need to take that information, make it relative to your situation. So provide as much as we can, but then let you take it from there and have that great experience in terms of tweaking it to exactly what would map for you. So I would like to show now how you could do that, how you could take advantage of some provisions there that may be complicated, but you can extract it and make it work for you. So let's go ahead and go over into Visual Studio. And inside of Visual Studio, I am going to demonstrate another way to do something that you actually showed earlier. You kind of showed a batch version of what you could do with some samples. I'm going to show how you can get very specific. So I'm going to say File, New, Project. That's going to open up the New Project dialog box. But what we've been like in this mode this whole time. Let's go to one of these particular project types. But in fact, there is yet more. And if we were to choose Online instead, and then go over into the samples for JavaScript, what you'll find is that there is a way for you to go into this world, and there's so many different examples that you could say, on demand, I want them right now. So I can search those, and I can say, well, I'm interested in authentication. So I can say authentication, and it's going to start looking for anything that maps to that. And of course, there's some authentication ones that are in here. And in fact, if I keep on saying authentication, and I think that's going to even filter the list a little bit more. There is one here. You see that green check mark says, hey, you already have that one, which I knew I did. But I just wanted to show everybody how you can get to it. But once you click on it and say install, basically what it does is it just takes that one sample and opens it up as a project, and you are now working with a local copy of it without having to download that entire batch of all of them, which isn't a bad idea if you can, but maybe you just want to zero in and only get into some of the specifics. So I am going to cancel out here in Visual Studio and say, well, okay, I don't really want to start a new project, because the truth of the matter is, I already have one that is open. And in fact, what I'll do to start is I'll just run it and showcase what this does. This is, in fact, it's almost important to do this from the perspective of every one of these. I'm going to be showing you the shell of each one, authenticating with Facebook or signing in with Twitter. You know, sometimes you go to sites or apps and they're like, how do you want to sign in? And they're offering this other means by which you can sign in. Well, if you don't have some of the data, like you aren't registered to have a Facebook app ID, well, this isn't going to be exciting for you to use. So, but it's very good to understand that you can have all the code just sitting here ready to go for you to plug in your own stuff, and you can start to authenticate through these different means. So that's one. I'm not even going to show the code for that. I just want everyone to know, look at some of those very common ones are already there. Just take advantage of this example. I'm going to shut that one down. I'll go over to Visual Studio again and close that one up and bring up the next one. Now, I got to be careful with this next one because when I run this one, which is, again, I did it by opening up and I said file, you know, new, and I went and grabbed this online one. You're going to want to search on the term authorization. Authorization will pull it up in the list. And
what's the difference?
Oh, good point. Authentication says you must be authentic. I really believe you're Jeremy. Authorization says, now that I know that, get out. now I'll base some decisions based on who you are. So what we want to do now is we want to get into the idea of, let me just demo it. I'll just run it. And this was one of the nice things about the Windows SDK examples is they run immediately. And in fact, a little scary right now because it is using my personal data, which, it's showing who my contacts are. It's showing events. Hey, look at that event, Jumpstart, day two. You know, it's bringing over this data right into here because it was authorized because I signed in, and I had signed in before with my Microsoft account, just like what Jeremy had to do on his machine when he had to sign in for the first time. I had already done that previously. But I have my list of contacts in here. I have my events. So, this is definitely authorized. The code has authorized to go ahead and do that. So, yeah, I better shut that one down. So, the danger of doing any kind of authorization or security stuff is you never know what's going to happen.
That's all right, Michael. It's just us.
Yeah, it's just us and the hundreds or thousands that are watching and will watch furthermore in videos to come. Okay. So instead of getting into the code itself, I think what the main attraction here was is to say you need to take advantage of some of the code samples there for more complex scenarios. Yeah, I didn't go into the specific lines of code. Jeremy kind of touched in on it when he went into the authentication example. But you really, if you download those code samples, you can find out exactly how to get into some of those security scenarios that are going to map to what you need, whether it's for authentication or authorization.